They want me to get rid of my dog. Can they do that?
I'm being fined for leaving my garage door open too long.
What are covenants? Do I have any rights?
Help, I feel like I've left the American zone.
If you want the answers to those questions, join me, Shu Bartholomew, and my guests on The Commons every Saturday from 2 to 3 right here on WBR Fairfax Radio. We'll ask the experts and we'll untangle the truth about what's left of our property rights.
This is On The Commons with your host, Shu Bartholomew. On the Commons is a weekly radio show dedicated to discussing the many issues surrounding mandatory membership homeowners associations. Join us as we explore this relatively new world of controlled living, which includes condominiums, cooperatives, and both attached and detached single-family homes. Living in a common ownership development means giving up the American dream. It means giving up your constitutional rights and control over your most valuable asset, your home. Living in a homeowners association means leaving the American zone.
Next, we have Mark Benson. Mark is known as a member of the Camp Council, and his specialty is trying to get back the reputation of the camps, which got lost somewhere along the way, and he tries to create the reforms necessary to protect owners against abusive camps. So, I give you Mark. Okay.
Good evening. It's Jan Monson.
Sometimes on the comments we have our challenges too.
Okay. I've been involved with community association management, administration, and participation for over 30 years. Let's try this one. Okay. I've been on boards of several condominium and homeowner associations. I own a management company, which I just sold a year and a half ago, and I retired from the company about a year ago. I was on the original advisory council for condominiums. 15 years ago, and then I was on the advisory council for condominiums about 5 years ago, and now I'm on the regulatory council for community association managers. I can tell you that over the last, in my opinion, over the last 20-some years of community association management here in Florida, I think that the standards have deteriorated to the extent that management is not as accountable to the associations and to the members as they should be. They have, in my opinion, dumbed down the requirements of community association management to the point where the solution of the Division of Professions is if they find someone that's operating without a CAM license, in essence operating illegally and jeopardizing the assets of the homeowners, they investigate it, they find them, and then they give them a license application and give them a license. The educational standards that are currently in effect, according to the Florida Administrative Code, should be monitored by the Division of Professions, and the Regulatory Council for the Association Managers. In the 10 years or so that this has been going on, actually, the managers have been licensed since 88, but the Regulatory Council hasn't been in effect that long. But they have never audited an educational course. So the department has no idea if the education that the managers are getting is sufficient or adequate to properly protect the associations. We have proposed new legislation, and this is on the CCFJ website, and also if you leave your email address, I'll put you on our mailing list to keep you up to date with the proposals. But we're proposing it being changed from a council to a board. In the state of Florida, a board theoretically has much more authority and responsibility than a council. This is what we want the board to do. We also want to license management companies. We've had too many instances where we get some wise guys who will hire a sacrificial manager. In essence, they just hire somebody with a license and claim to be a management company. They do some rather unscrupulous things. Of course, it all falls back on the manager who has the license, and the people that own the company are not licensed. So they sacrifice this CAM, do whatever they're doing, hire another one. And this pattern has been repeating itself in several instances. Also, as many people have horror stories concerning their associations, and oftentimes the CAM is the one who's out front, who's the one that's charged with fulfilling the responsibility, fulfilling the dictates of the board of directors. Oftentimes, CAMs are intimidated by the board just the way some of the owners are. They don't lose their job. CAMs have got to be held responsible the way other professionals are held responsible for their actions in conjunction with their client, who's the association. If the CAM is doing it illegally, they should know what's going on, they should know it's illegal, and they should make sure that they are not negligent nor culpable negligence in the actions of the board of directors. There have been several cases lately of embezzlements. We're investigating whether or not those CAMs were in essence negligent or culpably negligent, or did they participate? So these are the kinds of things we're trying to do for CAMs. We're trying to make CAMs more responsive to the needs of the associations and the needs of the unit owners, and get them to understand that they are not there to browbeat. They're there to serve. Just the way we are on the regulatory council, and we feel that the other people who work for the state are there to serve the people. Unfortunately, in the Department of Business and Professional Regulation, they refer to all of us, all of you, and all of us, as customers, rather than as citizens, that they're there to serve. And if you ever notice that the attitude towards customers is oftentimes more resentful than it is towards someone that you're trying to assist. And that's what we're trying to change at the DBPR. We're not getting a lot of support from Holly Benson, the NO relation, Mark Benson. But up there they tease her and say, "Oh, your cousin's at it again." So I keep trying to bug them. But I'm here tonight to hear from you suggestions that we can add to this legislation concerning community association managers. How can managers be more responsive to you? How can they help you? And how can they help improve the quality of life in community associations? So please, please feel free to offer your suggestions, and we'll try to incorporate whatever we can. Thank you.
Thank you, Mark. Next in line is Myra. Myra is what we call her, the Patsy Cognos lady, and she will tell us about why it is necessary, especially for elderly people, sometimes to have a companion pet, and why certain condominiums disallow it. We have seen one case where a cat that was in the condominium unit for 10 years, the owner got sued because she dared to complain about mold in the hallways, and the board told her, look, if you don't shut up about mold in the hallway, we're going to sue you about your cat. The case took nearly 2 years, cost a lot of money, and went nowhere because in the end the association folded. And Maya feels we need legislation to stop this. So here is Maya.
Okay, can you hear me?
Absolutely.
Okay, great. Okay. My name is Maida Gensler, and I'm the founder and president of Citizens for Pets and Condoms. You can find us on the web at www.petsandcondoms.org. We're the organization that's starting to make change that everyone said were impossible. And you might wonder how we can do it, because we're a very small grassroots organization. We have minimal funding, basically. We've had a few contributions, and the vice president and myself have put our own money into trying to do things. We have no money for advertising. As a matter of fact, because of this conference and advertising for this conference, we had a nice little upsurge in our signatures. Anyhow, we have a petition to allow pets in condos, and it's not just condos, any type of association-run housing. We have just passed over the 17,000 mark in signatures, which is pretty remarkable for our limited resources, and that petition is available to sign online on our petition, on our website. You can print off paper petitions from the website. And we had petitions and brochures in the back of them, too. I saw a few people signing tonight, which was nice to know. So who are we? We are a 501c3 tax-exempt private operating foundation that is dedicated to increasing acceptance of companion animals in condos and other types of association-owned housing, that would be HOAs, co-ops, mobile home parks, any place where it's an association. We stress responsible pet ownership as a way to achieve this goal. Our motto is creating a win-win situation for both people and pets. There are thousands of people who want to have pets and we want to help them. And there are also thousands of homeless animals who are needlessly euthanized. The kill rate down here is just horrible, especially in South Florida. And they're only killed because there's nowhere to place them. And we want to do all this in a way to keep the peace between neighbors. 63% of U.S. households have at least one companion animal, according to the American Pet Product Manufacturers Association. Compare that to the situation in Florida, especially South Florida. We can have huge complexes where no pets are allowed. I have driven along streets and seen signs at entrance of complexes that say, no children, no pets. I know of one condo that states no pets under any circumstances, which is a clear violation of disability law. We have a message for Florida legislators and realtors.
Okay,
our economy down here is suffering, and the housing market especially is suffering more than anywhere else in the country.
Okay,
and you're going to hear people saying it's the taxes and the insurance. Now, there's another reason, too.
And then you take the
we're on the brink of a generation change. The baby boomers are starting to retire. And that generation of people, they very much value their individual
freedom
and the right to choose the way they want to live. And guess what? If they can't choose how they want to live, they're going to move somewhere else. We're already starting to see that. We've had members on our mailing list that say, we can't stay anymore. We're moving to Georgia, we're moving to Alabama, somewhere else where we can choose the way we want to live, including having pets and some of the other issues like having trucks, all kinds of issues, but pets is one of the most contentious issues.
When we come on the right hand side.
Another issue came up this morning. I was at a lecture this morning, and someone from the Broward Sheriff Department started talking about how crime is going up in this area. There are going to be some huge layoffs of American Express, and they're expecting the crime rate to really go up. And they discussed how having dogs could help prevent crime. Well, that's another reason that people recognize to have pets. What our organization would like to see is to have a law in Florida like the one in California that simply says if you live in association-run housing, you may have at least one companion animal. We know that's an uphill battle, and we probably won't see that for a long time. In the meantime, we want to get a bill passed to clarify the right to have an emotional support animal. Emotionally disabled people are having their rights trampled on all the time. And I'm going to be talking more about specifics of that bill tomorrow, of what we recommend. We would also like to see a change, a voluntary change, where complexes turn away from no pet deed restrictions to more reasonable pet guidelines. And we have some standard pet guidelines on our webpage, things that work other places. Another thing I'd like to see, and I'll talk to you in particular, we would like to see the AARP Homeowners Bill of Rights also include the right to have pets. We thought that was a glaring lack in the list of rights. Now, why do people want to have a pet? Want to have pets? You know, I said that there are all these complexes where no pets are allowed. But there are pets in these complexes. People who risk their homes, risk fines, risk all kinds of things because there is such a human need to have a soft, furry creature, someone to keep them company. I'll give you two quotes that we have on our website that kind of describes pretty well just what it is that makes people want pets. A meow massages the heart. Another one I love is, there's no psychiatrist like a puppy licking your face. On our webpage, one of the largest sections is a whole collection of links and comments about how pets help people have different health benefits, especially emotional health benefits. Pets are known to reduce stress. There have been public statements by President Bush and Oprah Winfrey about how the pets in their lives help them relax and deal with the stresses in their lives. Pets also lessen anxiety and depression. The Center for Disease Control says that pets lower blood pressure, cholesterol, triglycerides, they lessen feelings of loneliness and increase opportunities for outdoor activity and for socialization. Another thing that pets do is they help people heal faster from illnesses. Our webpage has become a clearinghouse for people with issues about wanting to have pets. We have a section on the webpage with solutions to animal nuisance issues. We have links to authoritative legal resources. We have links to condo reform organizations like Cyber Citizens for Justice. We have a letters section and a story section. We get calls and emails from lots of people trying, desperate to keep their animals or desperately wanting to get an animal. And you will see pages and pages of letters on our website. And that, believe me, that is just the tip of the iceberg. I know I spoke to a gentleman here who had called me. His story isn't on there. There are lots of stories. So I would like to close with this, that our organization is here to stay. We represent the new Florida. You've heard the term PC, politically correct. We're pets and condos, PC.
Thank you, Maya. And now we have somebody up here, most of you know, if you don't know him, this is State Representative Julio Reiner, who has done a lot for homeowners and condo owners in this state. I give you Julio.
Thank you. if I can, let me comment on what the state has done with insurance. And it's nice to wear another hat here tonight and talk about another issue. The issue of mitigation, as you know, we have allocated for 2 years in the neighborhood of $250 million. The unfortunate part of it, that none of it applies to condominiums. There is no mitigation dollars through the state's MySafe Florida program. And of course, there's no money there for businesses. I think that if a group like yourself started to do what you do best, which is to try to lobby to have the legislative body include condominiums into the consideration for mitigation dollars, I would start doing it now, and I would start considering it, because the future of Florida is about mitigation and hardening and protecting your investment. Again, we will continue to put money, even in this year where we're strapped for money in our budget, there is a commitment to continue to put money into this mitigation program. But again, please, this is where I need you to get involved and to talk to the legislators and ask them to please include condominiums and businesses. A couple other things that I heard, some of the things that we did at the state level to help you with the issue of insurance. Of course, you've got the private sector. We all know about your large insurance companies. You have the state insurance company, which is Citizens Insurance, and you know that their rates are not the greatest rates either, but they're somewhat competitive. But then what we did this year, I worked on this legislation. It created two new avenues, and I think the experts that you had here talking about insurance did a very good job of explaining it to you. If I were on a board, or if I were a unit owner, what I would be looking at is these two new opportunities that the state has given you. One is very simple. You've always had this option, but we've now made it much easier to self-insure. Self-insure. You may like it, you may not, but I think it's a very viable option that you need to look at, because in the long run, you control basically what you want to put into a pot of money, and you guys decide what you put into it, and there's a process that we can walk you through with the help of the state to help you with a self-insured type policy. Second, something that's become very popular. I believe Continental Property Management Company has already started to enact it for some of its condominiums that it represents, and that is basically bundled services. Has anyone heard about bundling insurance packages with other condominiums? And I will tell you, and by the way, first of all, let me start by apologizing, because I got really lost trying to find this place, but I think I found condo heaven here in this area. I have never seen such a concentration of condominiums in one place. But that said, this is what we pictured in Tallahassee when we talked about what do we do for bundled services. Well, this would be a perfect place where different buildings with different associations can all come together, pull their money, and help go through buying what we call bundled large amounts of insurance. There are several companies now that are doing that. They're specializing in what we call bundled insurance, and that may help you get a lower premium. The numbers that we got from the industry that approached us to do this for you was in the neighborhood of 30 to probably 35% reduction in your insurance premiums. And last question, somebody said, well, whatever you do to mitigate, does everyone understand what we mean by mitigate? That means put up shutters, secure your buildings. And by the way, that's going to be the future of insurance in Florida. We're going from a mindset in Florida, because I also happen to work with the insurance issues in Tallahassee. We're going away from the idea of insuring the geography, and they're going to start insuring the risk. Does everyone understand that? What do I mean by that is, well, you know, well, you're on that side of the road, you pay more. You're close to the water, you pay more. The future of Florida is they're going to create a scale, and there will be a scale, and you will be given a number. You're either a 1, 2, 3, 4, or 5, and depending on where you fall, that's where the bracket that you'll fall in, and you'll see what kind of rate you're looking at. And that's going to fall where you fall in that category depending on how well you secure your building. So you have to be doing everything that you can. I know it's going to be a sacrifice. There'll be special assessments probably to be incurred, probably additional maintenance fees, but you must secure these buildings. because that is the way that insurance will be in the future in the state of Florida. We meet with the industry all the time, and they tell us, you know what, unless people start doing their thing and start securing their facilities or their homes or these condominiums, we're not going to want to come in here unless they're doing their side. And that's why the state is putting $250 million into these programs, which again, and I'll be quiet after this, you need to really lobby to make condo units also part of that consideration of the $250 million that we put into the pot. I'm open for questions. I just wanted to comment quickly on this. You are the chairman here, sir. Do you want to have an opportunity to ask a question? Ma'am, you have a question? Can you stand up so we can hear you? Okay, that's and let me tell you, we're going to do that. I think that when we're finishing up here is the issue of insurance, but we're going to get into that because, as you know, and I'm not here in that capacity tonight, I'm actually chairing a committee that's looking into the future of what happens in condos and homeowner associations in the state of Florida.
What do we do to get that our lives back?
If, ma'am, if when they're ready to go there, and I'm sure they're going to address it tonight, we'll do it. Let's please just stay for a few more minutes, and we'll get into some of those things, if of course you'd like me to, Jan. But let's finish up. Does anybody have any other issues about insurance, ma'am?
Well, this goes along with insurance, and that goes with homeowners associations. It's everything that you talked about. But to answer that lady over there, I am on the board of play at Bell Hall, and I can't agree with you more. Because I tell you what everyone on the board. I am for the people, I was elected by the people to work for the people, and that's what the board should do. I'm not running this year, so I don't need to. The way that you can prevent these abuses, the way that you can help with your insurance, the way you can help with all of this, is to get involved.
Get involved.
Community.
Get involved,
get
absolutely.
Vote. Yes, we've got an election coming up in February. And when you talk about, this one passed me up, prevent, let's see here, detect and block
rigged
elections.
Okay, good.
They are great.
Ma'am, let me interrupt you. I don't want to take control of the meeting, but the bottom line is we'll get into, let's get done with insurance. Are we done with insurance? Because we'll talk about that and how you do recalls and, yeah, and what you need to do, which is what I listen to these horror stories every day, and our ombudsman listens to it, and I'm sure Jan gets his share of what you do to get back your community, and we're gonna spend a little time on it. And we're going to talk about that. Accountability is my issue. But let me tell you, we're going to talk about it all, and I think that you'll see that if you're involved, you know what you're doing, you understand your bylaws, and you take the time to get involved, you're going to realize that we can also help you in getting there. Let me finish with insurance. Hang in there, please. Insurance, ma'am? Yes, ma'am.
I don't own a condo. I own a single home.
Single family home.
Right, in an HOA, and that's why I'm here.
Okay.
Now, what about? If you
can
bundle condo insurance, why can't you bundle it? Okay. Her question is, can we bundle homeowner association insurance? Ma'am? No, not homeowner association. Single. I'm talking about individual homeowners in a homeowner's organization. You mean all the homes within a homeowner association? It's an idea. I haven't heard it before. It has not been addressed. There's nothing to prevent us from discussing it and talking to people that are experts that can tell us this can be done or this cannot be done. You would, the best thing to do is just email me those type of recommendations, and I will present it to the insurance industry and the committee that handles a lot of the insurance issues. Man, that's a great idea, and that I've never heard that. Let me tell you something. Great ideas come from simple people that never think that I'm being heard, but very simple people. You know what I mean by simple people? I mean people that normally don't get involved and don't wear an elected hat. That's the word, non-political people. How's that? Thank you. That's a better word. Yes, ma'am.
Two questions. One, what kind of help are we going to get from the legislature in the future? From lower
the amount of votes that it takes to make your building mandatory to get. Right now it's at 70%. You have to have 70% vote. Is that correct?
For some particular issue, but what exactly are you referring to, ma'am?
If you get mitigation to get shutters and that sort of thing.
So what you're telling us is you'd like to look at legislation to lower the percentage of majority needed in a community to be able to deal with that issue of mitigation. Is that correct?
70% is difficult.
Again, these are ideas that we would like to address. I don't have that answer. And remember, we just started our meeting, so I'm meeting our series of hearings that we're having.
Here is a very helpful hint. Each of us look at zip codes. An example, in Raleigh County, you've got Hollywood that goes all the way up to Cooper City, where I live. Cooper City does not have the same risk that Oceanfront in Hollywood.
Are we talking about insurance again? Okay.
So what you can do, and people in Cooper City are doing this, they are going to your insurance company and showing them that they are of a lesser risk and you're getting rejections in your insurance.
Okay, that's all. Can everybody notice the same? She's talking about different zip codes and how the rates differ from different zip codes. Go back to what I'm trying to say. Remember what this little catchy little saying I'm putting out there. We will eventually transition out of insuring the geography and go to insuring the risk. Destruction. That's where we're going in the insurance world. And by the way, it's not just in Florida. This is the mindset of corporate America that is in the insurance industry. You're going to have to do your part because, honestly, the way that they used to insure with the geography, it made sense when they were able to calculate and they do these 100-year predictions and they do all kinds of other... They have data where they've based it. But the mindset from the people that I work with, which are the people from State Farm, Allstate, and a lot of some of the larger other companies in the state of Florida, is the future of insurance will be based on what you did to insure the risk. And depending on how much you do, then that will be a category that you'll fall under. So, ma'am, hopefully real soon, those addresses or zip codes will not apply. One thing that I always will apply, because let me be very honest, of course, if you're on coastal areas, that's a whole other world. If you decide to live in a coastal area on the water, you're asking for the multiple, what you consider the highest risk, and that I'm sure will be addressed in a whole different fashion. Insurance?
Yes. Where do you live?
I live in Miami-Dade County. And just for the record, I own two condominiums in Tallahassee, and I'm going through hell with those also. So I'll let you know.
That's what I was to tell you, because when Wilma came, it came from the west. And I live on the beach, on the Barrier Island, and we didn't have as much problem as the people out west.
The greatest catastrophic chance I've built in the insurance industry is always from the storm that comes off the wall.
Exactly.
Yeah, but this was a very bad one.
Let's finish up with this so we can go into the other subjects that are very important, ma'am. Remember, coastal areas, I'm always very honest with you. You may not like what I've got to tell you, but this is the way it is. If you live on a barrier island and you live oceanfront, remember that you're always going to pay more because your risk is very high, even when you mitigate. When you put up, you can build a wall around your community, you're still going to be at a higher risk than an average person who's off from the shoreline or so forth.
My condominium is 30 years old. Mm-hmm. Okay, so in 2005, all of a sudden we got a board that we have to do concrete restoration. Okay?
Go ahead.
That is terrible. Well, anyway, people who weren't prepared, who were not, I mean, a waitress and a real estate person, made this contract for $1,300,000. It was very sad. But then we had Wilma. The good thing we didn't start, but we did do the roof. Okay, after Wilma, you were assessed for the roof.
Right.
And then all of a sudden after that, when all the contractors were so busy, their prices were so high, and then we started this concrete restoration. Now, the building organization is less, people working, so now they'll give you a better price. Right.
Sure.
That we have these glasses, the glass, the sliding, the hurricane glass, it has to be a certain for impact.
Yes,
so now we didn't have to have shutters. Now you're talking bringing shutters back. I think about my electric shutters.
Real quick, unfortunately, right after a storm, it's your responsibility to secure the building as quickly as you can to prevent additional damage. But, ma'am, remember that we also passed in legislation the South Florida building codes, or they say the building codes now, are uniform across the state of Florida. So everybody, even in those areas where they've had a break before, in the northern part of Florida, now has to go to our standards pretty much. So we have tried to make it uniform. And that will hopefully help deal with the problems. But, ma'am, I understand, and price gouging goes on right after a storm. If you want to be the first one, you're going to pay a prime dollar. I would always ask for transparency. Let me see what you're doing. Show me the bids. Ask for as many bids as you can and then go from there. Please, the worst thing that could happen is be so anxious to jump on the first bid. But then again, it's like catch-22. You need to try to secure the building as soon as possible to keep additional damage from happening in the mold and everything else that comes in. So, does anyone have any more insurance questions before we go to this point? Ma'am, insurance?
Yeah, this came up in our building, and it kind of goes along with what she was talking about. And the hurricane impact, you live in Miami Dade.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, in a condo.
No, ma'am. No, go. I live in a home, but I have condos
okay.
And actually go
the Miami Dade code for those windows are all over, right? Would we have to live under them?
Yes.
Now, what came up in our meeting, and we had a lot of discussion on it, if people put those hurricane windows according to code 5 years ago, they had all these windows put in our building. Now, the code has changed a little bit. Do they have to change those windows because they aren't up to code again?
The way that I understand it, if you have hurricane resistant windows and you're up to par, you don't have to retrofit.
But if they're not up to code?
Ma'am, if they're not up to code, then you do. And you do have to. You just remember, you're telling me one thing and you're telling me you're not within code. If you're not within
code.
Okay, but hear me out. There's a thing called the grandfather clause for some situations, and you may fall under the grandfather clause. What I would tell you to do, instead of giving you a general answer, I'd have to look at each individual case and see what you got and see if you have what currently the code says you need to protect yourself. And by the way, the codes are only there not to make your life miserable, but this is tested information that we have to make sure that you have the proper, need and security. God forbid you spent all this money and then you get destroyed during a storm. Jan, you want to go ahead and just...
Is there anything as homeowners that we can do to force our boards as to what type and the amount of insurance? I know it's covered generally, but our board will not take any input from the homeowners. Is there any way as homeowners that we can...
We all can answer that. That's easy to do, and it doesn't work because the electoral regulations are very bad.
It sounds easy.
No. See, I'm working on that 3-4 times a week. I help people with doing recalls. It works like a charm. It may take a little while, but it works. And the thing is, we have the apathy of the people, but they come forward after the losses. Then it's too late. You can't repair it anymore. If you feel something is wrong and your board doesn't play along, you have ways to get rid of them. But you have to convince your neighbors and you have to work on it. Most people just sit there and say, oh, there's nothing we can do. And, oh, this is it. Yes, you can. And I'm sorry to say we need to go on, otherwise we're not getting with our
one more.
We'll talk about that a little later.
Okay.
There's one more.
One more.
I just want to... Ma'am, people call me up with lots of problems. Okay, and I talk to lots of people. I have Texas.
But it's the same answer.
Here's the problem. If you're by yourself... you're screwed. That's a lawyer's term, and if you need somebody to explain, I'll do it outside, all right?
If you're
by yourself, it doesn't matter what the issue is. And so you need to do what Geneva did and what many other people, including all of you, are doing here, which is you need to get allies. Now, in a condo, at least, people live sort of near to each other. What I tell people when they say, well, can I just hire you to read the documents? And I say, sure, you can hire me. And it's $500 just to come in, if you come in, because then I have to wreck my day. But if you talk to me on the phone, I choose when to talk to you. Okay? So, well, seriously, because if you're working, you don't want to interrupt it. So I call people back, and this is what I say. You can spend $500 on me. At the end of that time, I will tell you the same thing I'm telling you now. By yourself, you're screwed. Unless you happen to be Geneva, and she wasn't by herself, and you have a whole lot of money. I mean, she had 200 people at these demonstrations. It's way better to take that $500 in a homeowner association and have, in Texas, barbecue. And get your neighbors to come out and talk with them. Everybody feels the same way about insurance. We need to be protected. And if the board isn't listening, take your barbecue the next time to the board meeting. And say, we're going to be here.
Last insurance question in the back there, and then we'll go. But Matt, my short answer to that question is they're in charge. If you don't want them there, you need to recall them, and you'll take control.
Well, that's my next step. I just was wondering if there was anything.
Ma'am, last question on insurance, and then we're going to go into, I'm sure, a lot of the topics that are very interesting to several people here this evening. Yes, ma'am, your question? Matt, could you stand? I can't hear you. I think the gentleman right behind you can probably answer that question better than I can.
No. Insurance themselves can be terrific. They're only as good as how well they're attached.
Thank you.
If you put a bone that's 14 inches instead of every 4, it's going to come right off.
Correct.
So it's up to the inspectors
right.
from the city.
Correct. Correct. That's why you need somebody that's licensed, bonded, insured, knows what they're doing, and make sure that that's who your board hires, not somebody's friend who said that they can do the shutters.
Right.
Okay. Get the right people to do the job.
Okay. Well, we may come back to it later, but we need to go on with the program. I apologize. I don't want to cut anybody off, but that's it. For a change, we will hear now from some very nice ladies. They have a profession not every one of you likes very much. They're all attorneys. But they have they're a little different than most of the other attorneys. They're trying to help homeowners. And they're trying to help condo owners because it is, or minimum a few years ago, it was very, very difficult, even if you had money here, to find an attorney who was willing to fight for your rights. Because the big law firms, they represent association boards, and even if they take your case, they may not be too eager to win that case because it may go against an association board they represent in the next place. So let's start with Inga Garcia. Inga is known as the Goldmark condo lawyer, and she will tell us a little bit what she is in her heart.
Hello guys, thanks for coming tonight. We're all here together because we all have the same problem. We all want our life back. And the first thing we need to do is to stand up together as we are and keep fighting, keep speaking, keep making sure everybody knows our opinions, especially our representatives who can make changes for us. Because one of the main things we really need to do is rewrite the laws. Because our problem is that our board controls our life. And no matter how hard we fight, until we take over the board and the control, we're going to keep fighting. Now, I know the simple result or the simple suggestion everybody tells me when I have a fight for a unit owner is, well, recall your board. Like, it's so easy to do.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I just want a recall today, and I'm very happy. Amy Dean is here. And we got a recall, and we had a fight like a dog to get it done. But Earl gave us our result today in time for tonight, so I can tell everybody that don't stop. They're all there to help us. The DPVR is working for us, the attorneys are working for us, and the individuals keep standing up. It's not the key people here tonight who are fighting for us. John Bergerman, thank you so much. What are you doing? The tour of the support, we all appreciate it. Julio, who's been working so hard for years and years and years to fight the corruption, the fraud, the financial lack of disclosure. We are behind him and his pilot program right now. We have our committee meetings and we have subpoena power. And finally, we're going to make some changes that we've been fighting. I'm an ex-prosecutor. I used to prosecute for Janet Reno. I've been litigating for almost 20 years. And I live in a condo. And mark my words, I know exactly what you're going through. When you change the rules, they didn't let my dog or my garbage can was too far to the side. You know, no notice of what's going on at the board meetings, tripling our assessment within a year. It was crazy. You know, I'd like to introduce everybody to the gentleman standing in the back, Attorney Steve Rossi. Steve Ross is an ex-FBI agent, criminal attorney, who is jumping in to help fight with corruption. He and Julio are going to be key in us getting people to listen, starting criminal prosecutions, getting the police to actually take it seriously and make changes in our lives so we can stop the, you know, criminal activities. The civil activities, board. It's time for us to change the laws to give the unit owners more rights. The unit owners have a right, as far as I'm concerned, when it comes to a special assessment, to know if I'm going to spend $35,000 this month to repair my windows or fix my pool or change my balconies or do concrete restoration, I want to say so this. I want to see the bids. I want to know what's going on. I want to check out these contractors. I want to be able to know. If it was my own home, I would say, you know what? I want to talk to these contractors. I want to see what the contract is. I want to see the specifications from a threshold engineer. I want to understand where my money's going and have some type of knowledge of what's going on. I don't want to be foreclosed on next month for a $35,000 assessment for a concrete restoration company that's going to come in and rip out my windows and change my balconies and modify my building. And the board does it with no unit owner having any idea what's going on. I mean, it's crazy. We got a temporary injunction. Valerie Austin here in Chateau Mar. Another key case. The judge gave us a temporary injunction to stop the concrete restoration company from coming in. Using an engineer that wasn't a threshold licensed engineer with specs that nobody saw, with contracts nobody could see. They hid the contract from us until after the hearing. And we finally got a copy of the contract to see they signed it at the time of the hearing. And the judge said, come in, show me what's going on. The judges are now standing up. The judges are listening. The DPVR is listening. The legislatures are here and help us make the changes. We're getting a busload of us together to go to Tallahassee, or I mean, we're going to all these meetings. We're going to help them rewrite these laws. We look forward to your input. Anything you guys see, right now too, over here at Lenny, South Point condo, windows. I had 7 arbitrations going on with window issues. Who pays it? Who owns the windows? What did the change in 2004 do? How do you insure it? When is it insurable interest? When is it assessed? I mean, it's crazy. And then the fraud in the games they're playing, the shenanigans, as I call it, are ridiculous. So hopefully we'll win all these different cases. Now, what I'd like to do is ask a couple of you owners, if you have to summarize in one word what's going on in your association, what word would you use?
We are both here, Brian and myself. He's the president of the board and I'm the vice president. And we are trying to do exactly what everybody wants for our owners. We're trying to secure the building. We're trying to show everybody what kind of leads we have. Not everybody is a horrible borrower. Okay, we are, some of us are okay.
That's fine.
Yeah, education is one thing. Education, we need to teach. A lot of my clients are actually the minority board members. Sandra, from Renaissance. How would you describe your condo? What word would you use to describe what's going on in your condominium?
I would say they want to pass the Bible. And that's the question that I have for the leader. What can you do to force the board members to follow the Bible?
Let me quickly address that. We can pass all the laws in the world, but until there's enforcement, nothing's going to get done. And that's what we're working on, is enforcement. We want a DDPR that does their job. And I actually have an idea on how to completely restructure DDPR, which if anybody ever wants to ask my opinion, I'll tell you what it is. And I think that they're, right now, they do need some restructuring. They need to investigate issues like you investigate Medicaid and Medicare fraud. They need to get out of the office. They need to go outside. And they have to spend a day or two there requesting records and looking at everything. That's the way they should be doing these investigations, not pushing paperwork and sending warning letters. That's always been my issue. But all that said, enforcement. Fraud. Anybody brings up fraud. You know, we're doing a pilot program. By the way, kudos to Broward. You guys, we got more, probably, in my opinion, problems today than Broward. But Broward is leading the pack with over 5 arrests already. And fraud. And some of these people are your next door neighbors that you talk about. What a nice individual. Yeah, nice that you found out they were stealing thousands of dollars from you and using it for personal use. So we're going to continue on the issue of fraud. As a matter of fact, Bill's here from the Ombudsman's office. He's getting ready to teach class on so many new officers that are going to be going to training. And by the way, it's our, when I say our, in this case, it's the state's responsibility that the goal would be that every law enforcement officer can eventually be trained to understand that this is, that fraud, Ingrid, is not a civil matter. It's a crime, and it needs to be investigated as a crime. And they don't need to tell you every time there's a possible crime, oh, file a lawsuit. That needs to be your local police department and your state attorney's office looking into that. And even on these allegations that we're getting about possible mafia involved in these condominiums, well, the attorney general of the state of Florida needs to get involved. So we're listening. But remember, we're going at a slow pace. I invite you all to come to our meeting. It's no longer just one. We have 9 members of our board. And by the way, guess what? They're no longer just legislators from South Florida. I've got them from the panhandle. They're realizing that the same problems we're having in Dade County, it's happening all around the entire state of Florida. This problem's happening. And again, sir, last comment. I will tell you that when a board is good and you got good, honest people that have integrity and want to create transparency, God bless them. It works great. You know that. And you have good board members. But a lot of times, what happens when they go astray, or what happens when the rest of them don't know and only one knows and he's running the show, but more importantly, you do have people, very honestly, that are committing fraud every single day, and their intention is just to do that, make money off of this. He's the chair. You got to run it through him.
Okay. Monica has a question. She tries eagerly since about 10 minutes to wave her hand, so it's her turn.
I don't live in Florida. Actually, I do have family and friends that live here. But I want you to understand that when you get to Tallahassee, I just came back from my 11th year in a row at the Community Association Law Institute seminar with 506 lawyers in attendance, and I was the only little homeowner advocate. And actually, they thought I was a lawyer for the last couple of years when they found out. It's just watching them do and say what they do, and I've learned so much. But what I think is really important, and I swore I wasn't going to speak, I would have walked barefoot out of the snowstorm in Illinois yesterday to hug Julio's neck personally. He's the first and only legislator that I've ever met that's doing the job anywhere in the United States. So before I lose track of this thought, I want you to know that their plan is to lobby the legislature, and we're talking about, I've heard cases of six-figure special assessments
that are becoming more commonplace that the board, we're not talking about $70,000 or $35,000, we're talking about $170,000 that the property owners don't really have a say in. But what I want you to know is that their plan is to come to the legislatures, and in the year 2020, and I was the one that raised my hand and said, what about the United States Constitution and the Contracts Clause? Their plan is to lobby the legislatures in the United States to allow statutory requirements to make homeowners pay whatever the board deems is necessary for any kind of project. So you need to be aware of the fact that while we are all lobbying very hard and we don't have anything going on in Illinois, I came here because I know several of these people and I've met them before, and I traveled to Newark to some of the conferences. But what it says about the legislative update in this year's Community Association Law Seminar is something I was going to share privately with Julio. And it says, increasingly, disgruntled homeowners are taking their issues directly to their legislators. In response, a raft of legislative fixes, quote, have been proposed to right the perceived wrongs and shortcomings of association governance. There's a whole lot of other things I'd like to read. I really would like to give you a copy of this. You'd be probably surprised. But what I want you to know is they already know that we're here. There were several comments made during the Community Association Seminar in Las Vegas about this big rally in Florida, and I'm sitting there looking at my plane ticket going, uh-oh. And there were several lawyers, and they made special references to Jan's program and the CCFJ website, and all of us using the new media to get our message across and to contact our legislators. They spoke about Shoes program. They spoke, I'm almost 100% positive, about B's website, HOA data. I really think that you need to educate yourselves, I didn't know what you were called before, those that are just a little older than myself, I'm a baby boomer, my husband's 13 years older, you're called the silent generation, unlike Generation X, and now our children that are in the 20s aren't Generation Y. I'm really proud of all of you that you're not the silent generation that they said you were. You might not be baby boomers, but they didn't know that I've been sitting there for the last 11 years, and I have to say with all my heart that I'm 100% confident that there is someone in this room tonight that is watching and listening to every single thing you say, and I just want to say thank you for starting something, because I want to take all this back, and David's here from Texas, I'm from Illinois, Shu's from Washington, D.C. area. We really do need to think globally and act globally, but our goal, if I could carry on his legacy, is to do something for homeowners on a national basis, so we'll have all of our elders protected, because there isn't anybody out there that's taking care of anyone. So we need to focus on what.
Thank you for joining us today. Please check out our website at onthecommons.us. That's onthecommons, all one word, .us. On the Commons is produced by OTC Multimedia Productions. Thanks again for joining us, and see you all next week.
Well, I finally bought my dream home to enjoy retirement life. I've made new friends and buddies, lots of parties for my wife. It seemed that life was perfect, all my neighbors felt the same. Then along came death by CCRs, life's over, I'm fair game. Those petty rules and regulations, it's enough to make you cry. They're full of woes, no pink flamingos, someone tell us why. Slick managers and lawyers slither close, but they won't tell why our dream home should remind us we bought a one-way ticket to hell. Now there's lots of open meetings closed to justice for HO. Those arrogant board members say what they want you to know. The CAI and ULI will help you lose it all. But I wouldn't sell that dream home yet. The writing's on the wall. Those petty rules and regulations, it's enough to make you cry. They're full of woes, no pink flamingos. Someone tell us why. Slick managers and lawyers slither close, but they won't tell why our dream home should remind us we bought a one-way ticket to hell. Well, we're not afraid or stupid. All your threats mean nothing here. Time marches on, soon you'll be gone. United, we'll be there. So put your rules and CCRs up where the sun don't shine. And enjoy those precious golden years. Stop messing around with mine. Those petty rules and regulations, it's enough to make you cry. They're full of woes, no pink flamingos. Someone tell us why. Slick managers and lawyers slither close, but they won't tell why our dream home should remind us we bought a one-way ticket to hell. Why our dream home should remind us we bought a one-way ticket to hell.